look and be like, don't give me a ticket, mister. What can I do to, like, appeal to your compassionate side?
Lesbians do love friendship and poetry.
You know, it's called an English degree. Look it up.
Look it up, bitch.
Worried about him. You okay, bud?
What have I viewed here today?
Like, no.
Sorry. No, I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm making it sound really unpleasant to listen to.
No,
but like, 10
no,
out of 10,
no, I'm
I
intrigued.
Loved it.
BRB. I have some AO3 keywords to, gotta do some searches.
Yes.
Hello, listeners. Wow, who was that? I don't know. Welcome back to Boob Tube. Today we're going to be talking about The Gilmore Girls, Season 1, Episode 9. Rory's Dance is the title, which is not a good title.
Yeah, kind of a non-event of a title.
Kind of a non-event. Right, exactly.
Banger of an episode.
Yeah, really. A lot of stuff happened in this episode.
Should I say first, though, of all the things that you should be trying to do at home, listeners, do not attempt to adjust your podcast style?
Yeah, we control the horizontal, the vertical, and the backwards cowgirl.
Come with us on a magnificent journey of gender and sexuality as we plumb the depths of pop culture and television, starting right here, right now, with Gilmore Girls. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Zoe. And you're listening to BoobTube, The Gilmore Years.
And God, this was a year. We'll get into it. But again, this is where, like, the emotions of this episode, I think, coupled with my actual teen emotions, have, like, fused to a point where I'm like, this is adolescence. This is relationships. This is drama.
Truly, this was the episode that was heard around the world, I feel. Like, this falling asleep in Miss Patty's dance studio, I feel like this comes back again and again. I mean, maybe that's just conjecture.
In here it does anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's just that I remember it, but mm-hmm. I do feel like this was an important part of season one.
Totally, totally. As we get into the 411.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I actually do a program at work that used to be called 411 and the 413 that we had to rename because literally no one under the age of 25 knows what the 411 is. So thank God we're retaining it in this time capsule. 1-4-1-1 I really have to share is that my work wife, Molly, has been duty-bound to inform me that even though I've said with great confidence over the last every episode we've recorded that Rory does not get into Harvard, she does get into Harvard.
Oh my God.
She just chooses not to go. So I have been basing literally everything. I've been forcing you to get on board with me for this. I have had made so many statements. And guess what? She gets into Harvard. So that's a big mea culpa. And, you know, what can I, you know, I you live, you learn, you cry, you learn, you lose, you learn.
You learn. That's so funny because that is also what my first note is about.
L-O-L. Okay, but to be fair, when we've said spoilers, we've been very clear that we know slash remember nothing.
So my little Instagram friend, Sarah, she messaged us and she said, I also have to lol at your spoilers, air quotes around spoilers. In the pod because they're not accurate. Rory does get into Harvard. She just decides to go to Yale instead.
Look. Okay, but I am right that she's a loser in Year in the Life. I didn't make that up. I'm positive about that part.
Got it. No, I mean, she does not go to Yale. That's what we knew.
No, she does go to Yale. She doesn't
go to
Harvard.
She does not go to Harvard.
Yes.
That's what we knew. So, yeah, you live, you learn. I mean, yeah, we did say that they were not real spoilers because I can't remember.
But, I mean, also, I will take the accountability that you were like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Can't wait to get there. And I was like, yeah, bitch, she doesn't get into
Harvard.
It's
totally going to happen. It's going to blow your tits clean off.
Oh, God.
So that's hysterical. Yes. And, I mean, let me just say, the air quote spoilers will not stop. We will keep guessing about what happened. With the confidence of like a precision strike.
You know, it's like very postmodern. We're like creating meaning in collaboration with the show. It doesn't bring the meaning to us and we accept it. We're working together.
Exactly. We decide what happens.
We control the vertical, bitch.
And the horizontal. Anyway, okay, amazing. And then the only other thing that I wanted to say is that, and actually you said it to me first, we are so close to 1,000 followers on Instagram. We want it so bad. So I'm sending out a call. If you haven't left a review of BoobTube, on any of the various platforms that one listens to podcasts on, please go do so, because that really boosts our listenership, I guess. It just gets our name out there and it makes us look good. And it makes me feel good when I go to the page and I see
the most important thing.
Yeah. And I see that it's like 5 stars and then the reviews are mostly positive. I'm like, oh, there, maybe I will live one more day.
Oh my God. There's going to be a new review at the top that's 1 star that says Rory gets into Harvard. You dumb sluts.
Do not do that. I will.
Or at least make it a 5-star review and yes, then say yes. that.
Oh, now, okay. Now I love it. See, now I love it. You change the context. So yeah. Yeah. Tell your friends, leave a review, call your mom, call your aunt. Have them
call the midwives. Is there anything we could promise or threaten to drop if we get to 1,000? Like, I was going to say I'll show my tits, but I feel like literally the Patreon people would be, like, scared. And everyone would be scared. Like, they wouldn't want that.
That's a lot. That's very confrontational.
Exactly. Like, I feel like for themselves and for me, they would turn away.
Right, right, right. Well, I have fielded a few questions about merch for BoobTube.
Oh,
we don't have any currently, but maybe if we hit 1,000 followers on Instagram, we can drop some. We'll drop some merch. I don't know if that's like tantalizing, but that's all I got.
Yes, and we should take some feedback about what should go on the merch. Like, is it a picture of Rory with a thought bubble going, "Too bad I didn't get into Harvard"? Like, what is it?
Okay, well, now I want that.
Okay, that is, yeah, I'm really excited if that happens.
So that's what we're working on this week, and I guess in the future. We just discussed Full Pot, Empty Pot, our highs and lows of our week. And we have decided as a team that we are no longer going to plumb the depths of our experience to try and think of something negative to say about our lives. And I mean, listeners, you guys all know it ends up being the weather more often than not. So like,
and we're negative enough, like you're fine.
We're not really missing anything here. I just think it's silly that we both sit here and try and think of something bad that happened to us.
And kind of like probably from a like psychoanalytic perspective, not good to force ourselves to be like, my week was bad. Like, let me just say how.
Right. So if something bad is bad, we can talk about it. But otherwise, we're just going to keep it light and breezy for Full Pot, Empty Pot. And in the vein of that, this is a full pot. I watched season one of The Bear, which I have been recommended by so many people.
Did Bear watch with you?
Parts. I feel that Bear, like inside of Bear, is the intensity from the show The Bear. It's just like all funneled into his little fluffy body.
Yes.
I really liked it. It was great. I didn't watch the show for a long time because it seemed to have a male protagonist, and you know how I feel about that.
Yep. And it's like takes place in an industry that I know can be very male dominated and toxic in that way, which I think they show.
Exactly. And like very male dominated and toxic in that way, coupled with like the worshiping of men, like men can do no wrong. Not in general, but like usually the people in those fields are men. Is this making sense?
And I think there's a lot of like sexual.
Yes. Power like, dynamics. Like, that, what's his face at Civilization?
Oh my God.
In Dawson's Creek.
Fucking right. Dawson's Creek really was a trail. So the bear. Oh, is the bear copyright infringement against Dawson's Creek?
I'm going to say yes. I really loved it. It was really good. There's Ayo. Edibiri plays Sydney, and she's a character on the show, and she's the best. That's my bestie. She did nothing wrong.
Yay!
So awesome. Like, such a rich, like, not to be that guy, but there's a lot of, like, really
good... It's a rich text!
It's a rich text! There's a lot of, like, roles for people of color that are really good and, like, well thought out and not just, you know, a side character. Like,
Okay. I watched like half of the first season and I got too stressed out, but it sounds like I should go back.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful. I mean, I won't lie. Like, yeah, all of the yelling, the pure yelling that happens is a lot. But yeah, I made it through, and I hopefully will watch the second season because everyone's telling me that the hugest asshole on season one goes through an incredible character arc in season two. So
ooh, that we'll guy see about that. That guy really annoyed me.
He's terrible.
Isn't the main actress also in Bottoms? Am I right?
Yes.
Or is that someone else? I'm so excited to see Bottoms.
I saw it.
Did it live up?
It is. Yeah. I mean, okay. Yes. Okay. It's really good. It is. It was different than what I thought it would be. I'll say that.
Okay.
It's a little more it was less of a romp and more of like a, I'm trying to think of like an example, like what's that Jennifer's Body, like there was more yeah, there was slightly more body horror, but it's like funny, like comfortable body horror, if that makes sense. Like the thing isn't, the movie isn't like, oh my god, these people are like getting eviscerated or anything, but like people do, like towards the end people like canonically die in a funny way.
Oh shit, okay, that is good to know. I that might have been a little hard to metabolize
it. I was surprised. That's all. It wasn't bad. I just like didn't know it was going to go there. But it's really good. And Rachel Sennott, I think, who is the director and also one of the stars. I think she's the director. She's the one that's not A.O. Adibri, the other lesbian. And she is a freak. I mean, I just think.
Did you watch
that mind?
Did you watch the movie she was in, Shiva Baby?
No, but
it's
now I want
to. So good. If you and me and Ariel ever get a chance to all watch it together, I would orgasm. I was heartbroken to learn that she is not Jewish. She's Italian.
I know. Insane.
I was seeing a lot of memes on Instagram of like, the Italians and the Jewish people have made a decision that that's okay cross-casting that way. And I was like, I'm going to assume this is not just a joke and it's true, so I don't have to be mad at her and just keep going because I love her so much.
Yes, if the Jews say it's okay, then I think it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'll do an Instagram poll on our Instagram for Jews only.
Thank God, we'll really drill down on this. Oh, that reminds me. Oh my God, we haven't started talking about this episode, but that reminds me real quick.
We need to say what we need to say.
It's true. One thing I want to implement for the Patreon, and I'm going to make a post, and everyone that's on our Patreon can post their screen names on there. I'm going to start doing friends only posts on BoobTube, and if you're on our Patreon, I'll add you to the friends only list.
Perfect.
What about
you? Okay, me. I have 3 stories. I'll keep them really quick. My first story is that the reason that I was so late today is because I slept terribly because I did a really good double feature for myself last night. I was like, end of the week, bottle of red wine, like what's something special we can make happen for ourselves? And yeah. I landed on a head-to-head matchup of The Age of Innocence and Under the Skin. And like,
oh, wow.
I was devastated by the end. Age of Innocence is like, very up my aisle. I'm surprised I've never seen it before. It's like period piece, Martin Scorsese. But the takeaway is like life is suffering and human connection is a dream. Numb nuts. Oh, so like.
Perfect.
I loved it. It was beautiful. Yeah. I loved it. But like, you know, I guess it ends like hopefully and beautifully, but it's still like a bummer. And then have you ever seen Under the Skin?
No.
I watched it once because someone sent it to me when I was in the Philippines, and I remembered it was disturbing, but I remembered one scene as, like, the apex of how disturbing it was, and that was in, like, the first 10 minutes and, like, was a building block to how disturbing it was going to get.
Whoops.
So.
So you're feeling great?
I'm feeling really good about that. Highly, if anyone wants to duplicate my actions and let me know how that turns out for you.
Take the Gabby Reeve doubleheader challenge.
Yes. And I also got really mad because I was like reading things about it afterwards to like digest what I had seen. And there's some like sexual violence at the end. And everyone was writing like, it shows how it's double-edged. Like this alien wants to be a hot woman. But like the double edge is like she's so attractive. And it's like, no, that's not why sexual assault happens. It's not because people are hot. Like go away.
Yeah, not I even close.
Any whistle. And then my other 2 things that I was thinking about was I ran a 5K in my neighborhood last weekend and I staged a one-woman protest and no one cared. So it was like the most me thing I've ever done because there's all these stupid... all these stupid fucking signs around my town. Like, we even were in the local newspaper for how much our town, like, hates this Massachusetts bill that's in the House about, like, adding some more very reasonable gun control measures. And there's all these signs around my town that are like, stop HB 4420. Like, protect the Second Amendment. Shoot your gun in the air, man. I made a horribly cut up Sharpie homemade t-shirt that said, I support HHBB 420, protect people, not guns. And I was like, I'm wearing to this 5K. And like, I might get shot. My car might get keyed, but I'll be a hero. There was like 50 people max at this whole 5K. And yes, men in like cargo camouflage shorts did give me a stink eye, but literally no one said or did anything. And I was like, I really thought I did this, but it's so typically me that I was like, I'm ready to lay down my life. And like, no one, literally no one said anything.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's good, but I was just like, okay.
It's very you.
Yes. And then my last thing that happened to me recently was I went for a run today and I went to get some coffee and like a bagel after my run. And are Dunkin' Donuts like in a state of like constant collapse where you live too? Or is that just me?
Oh, well, what do you mean?
Like, there's never any staff people. There's always a huge line. Everyone's like always like really mad, all the customers.
I think this might be an issue of you living in a rural place.
Because
if there's more dunks around, you can spread out the insanity.
Totally. And I think there's just like a real, like, yes, I know it's everywhere, but even more, I think there's people have been having a hard time hiring people around here. So yeah, the dunks I normally go to is like always very chaotic. Like, I know if I'm trying to go there before work, I have to have like an extra 20 minutes of time.
Yes. That is so funny because I have been getting up earlier and earlier recently for no reason. It's just happening. And I keep going to Dunkin' Donuts, because I am addicted. I keep going like earlier than I usually do, like, I don't know, 8 or somewhere around there. And there is a line around the block. And every time I see it as I pull up and I'm like, I did it fucking get. I'm here too early.
Yep. And have you tried the ice spice munchkin drink?
No, not yet. It looks insane.
Yes, but you try all the weird drinks, so I assumed you had tried it.
I know. I'm going to try to. I have not seen it featured. It's got, like, donuts in it, right?
Yeah, it's got munchkins, like,
yeah,
squished up. And no actual coffee, just coffee syrup.
Really? Oh, my God, that's so funny. Okay, well, now I have to have it.
Well, I was not ordering anything that weird. There was literally no line at the drive-thru because it was, like, later on a Saturday. And so I pulled up to the drive-thru, and I was, like, waiting for the voice from the heavens, and it said, "Welcome to Dunks. How can you torture me today?" And I was like, I was gonna place an order, but is it a bad time? Like, I'm me, so I was like, "Are you okay?"
Of course.
And she was like, "Yeah, I know. You're here to torture me. Yeah, go ahead." And I was like, "Okay." And she was like, "Yeah, you're Julie, right?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, and so I was like, "Oh, she thought I was Julie. Like, it's over." And then she was like, "Okay, yeah, anyway, what do you want?" And I was like, "Set a bagel." And she was like, "I was right. Time for the torture."
Oh my God.
And then when I got my coffee, this wasn't as weird, but when I said I wanted a latte, she was like, "You want any juice in it?"
What is going on?
And then this other woman like stepped out the back door who worked there and was like, "She's playing. Isn't she a hoot? She's fun." And I was like, this woman sounds so angry. Like, it's okay. Like, I understand.
Right,
I'm sure
course.
It's literal torture to work here. But, like,
of course.
Don't lie to me. Don't come out and laugh and pretend that this is, like, fun we're all having. Like, no. She's really mad.
She's really mad. And I'm really confused. Like, I'm just in the drive-thru.
Like, I might cry
Julie.
Just because I'm confused.
I just want to help you, but I don't know how.
You can take all the time you need. I'm not in a rush today.
I love that you said is now a bad time. That's exactly what I would have done.
Because torture is so, like, you have passed the boundaries if you're saying, how can you torture me?
Right. And she doubled down. Like, the first missive, you know.
Yeah, it was like,
silly.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get past that. But the fact that she was like, no, it's time for you to torture me. Like, okay, I don't know you. Like, I don't want you to be working at Dunkin' Donuts either, but, like, I still do need to get coffee.
Yeah, and like, I'm kind of worried that you're going to throw my bagel, like, open at my face when I get up to the window.
I know. Aggressive.
And when I got there, it was fine. She was like, "You're the only person who said anything. Everyone else just continued with their order like normal." And I was like,
okay,
"Why? How?"
It was a test. I see. Oh,
yes,
okay.
But she was like,
"A little more sense."
Yes, but she was like, "I'm about to quit." Like, she said that to me. Like, she was actually really mad.
I know. Homegirl is not. Yeah, she's getting.
She
out
wasn't
of there.
Having a good day. But I was just like, "Wow."
I know.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
I know, that's scary. That would make me feel like, is this a dream? Like, is this the Truman Show right now?
I had like a 5.5 second where I was like, would a prank show film in Great Bearing?
Exactly.
I don't think so. I'm very sweaty.
Does this make sense? God, I hope I'm not being filmed right now.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, that is an incredible story, an incredible tale. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I think, you know, 20 minutes in, we can probably crack into the episode.
Are you sure you don't want to talk about the ice spice latte some more before we get in there?
Well, I wish I could go get one. I'll Okay, this will be my first post on our friends only BoobTube. I'm going to go get the Ice Spice thingy, and I'll do a review. Perfect.
Okay,
I'm going to forget that immediately. But
people leave a comment and remind us. That's the only way we'll know you are a reminder.
The horrible Ice Spice donut confectionery. So today we are talking about Gilmore Girls Season 1, Episode 9, Rory's Dance, which, by the way, is such a weak name. Some of these episodes have better names. Like our last one was like Love, War, and Snow or something like that. But
yes.
But the first one, which I get, pilot, that makes sense. But like Rory's Dance, there's another one that's like Rory's something else, Rory's Dress or something. Anyway.
Sounds like an American Girl doll book.
I know. This episode was directed by Leslie Linka Glatter, and it was written by Amy Sherman-Palladino, who is the creator of Gilmore Girls, as well as Mrs. Maisel. And she's a really big fan of statement hats, I've learned from her IMDb page. If you Google Amy Sherman-Palladino, there is a wealth of images of her in, like, big, like, top hats and shit.
Given the wacky world she creates, I am not surprised
Correct.
At all. Okay, yes.
Correct. The detail that I did not include in there was that she also created bun heads, which I don't know anything
Thank
about
you.
Other than that it exists, but... Yeah, this is a specific oeuvre that this woman is covering.
I watched a good chunk of Bun Heads and had to give up because I was having all the same problems with Gilmore Girls, but I hadn't already watched a lot of it, so I wasn't as invested. But spoilers, this one I do remember for sure. The first episode, one of the co-stars is What's His Buns from Succession and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Not the main guy,
oh,
the other guy from Ferris Bueller's
fuck.
Day
yeah,
Off.
Yeah, 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 of course.
And he... Yeah, what is his name?
I don't know his name.
Well, I almost said Con Heads because he plays Connor on
Succession.
Anyway, in my mind, I was like, he is one of the three stars along with Emily Gilmore and this other woman. He does die in the first episode, and it blew my fucking mind. I was like, forget 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like, this is the twist of our lifetimes.
Amazing. Written by Amy Sherman-Palladino. And I did think the writing in this episode was really good. So
really
that's
good.
Exciting. And I think that is it. Let's dive in.
Yeah, because we'd not skip an episode here. We are right on track. Which I did appreciate that it's still like cold and cold. Like they're doing the TV thing where no one's closing their goddamn coats. But like there's snow on the ground. It's cold.
Yeah.
Like they are keeping that continuity going.
Yes, I like that too. Especially since this show is so known for being a fall show. I don't know. The fact that they didn't make fall last like an entire season. I was proud of them for that.
Yes. And that like they made some concession to it being New England, even if it's like
yes.
incredibly minimal.
I know. Yeah. Rory's running around with like no jacket, like fully exploded. No, fully exposed clavicle. That sounds bad too.
Do not want to see an exploded. I mean, I'm down for an exposed clavicle, but not an exploded. I guess if it's exposed out of your skin. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It sounds like body horror. Anyway, but we're going to pick up this episode. Emily, Rory, and Lorelai are at dinner at Emily's. Richard is in Prague. And the first thing we learn right off the bat is that Lorelai doesn't like avocado.
Literally had that highlighted. Bitch, you think you're too good for avocado? This is, again, where they're signaling, like, we're not just leftist elitists, coastal cities. We hate avocado. We're one of you. Get out of here.
Exactly. And... basically, the other thing that happens is that Emily actively reads the Chilton newsletter that she's having forwarded to her home. Or I guess maybe her email. She comes out later with like a piece of paper, so I just assumed. But
I think it's paper at this point, which is interesting given they're trying to save the spotted owl and probably destroying his tree home.
True. She's read the Chilton newsletter and she knows that the winter formal is afoot.
Yes. There's a very normal Lorelai. It's just like, since when do you get the newsletter about like... the school that, you know, my kid goes to, but yours doesn't. So, of course, Emily has to be like, well, as a major contributor to Rory's education, you poor slut, I figured I had the right to ask for a newsletter. God. And it's just like, first scene in. Good job.
I know. She can't be cool. And I don't know what the transition is, but they get into... Rory says that she's not going to go to the dance, and Emily's response to that is like, what, to Lorelai? She's like, what did you tell her about dances that she doesn't want to go anymore? And Lorelai says, Mom, I promise. All I ever said to her about dances is that you go, you dance, you have punch, you eat, you take a picture, and then you get auctioned off to a biker gang from Sausalito.
So good.
I just love that.
Lorelai is really on it this episode in a good way. Like, her little bon mots are making me giggle. There's a part earlier where Rory's talking about wanting to stay in the hotel in Prague where, like, this political figure was, like, held prisoner, like, a hostel. And Lorelai is like, yeah, and then we can go to Turkey and stay in that place for Midnight Express. Great. Yeah, I love that.
Perfect. We got a plan. After dinner, they're talking, Lorelai is talking to Rory in the car about going to the dance. She wants to make sure Rory's decision to not go to the formal is her own and not actually based on Lorelai's experience, like Emily suspects. And I actually wanted to say, I really love everything she says, Lorelai says here, and good it seems parenting. Like a really good, right? Like a really good way to present this of your to your teen, which is like, I hear that you hate this thing. And I'm not saying that this would work on me. I feel like I would weasel my way out of having to learn anything here. But the way Lorelai says it, where she's like, I hear that you hate this thing. I just want to bring up the fact that you've never actually tried this
thing. Yes.
You know, and like, if you try it, maybe you should try it. And then if you hate it, we can hate it together. Perfect. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. And because I also just get frustrated and people won't – that's just a me thing. I get frustrated and people won't try things. And I thought that was like – she didn't get frustrated. She was just like, just to be clear, you have never done it. So like, is there something else I don't know about what you're basing this on? And I also love the way later she says explicitly, like, I know you're not like a big party girl and I love you for that. But sometimes I wonder, do you not join in because you really don't want to or because you're too shy? And she says, like, if the reason is you really don't want to, like, I won't pressure you.
Right.
But I feel like internally I also have still that like – question of myself of like, do I not want to do this thing because I really don't want to do it or because I'm like anxious about like the social part of it or like some other it's new, like, and it doesn't mean the answer is you always have to do it, but I think it is a really good conversation to be within yourself so you know when to push and when to be like, just gonna give myself a day off of that.
I totally agree, and I think that's a really hard, and I mean granted this is TV, but like that's a really hard conversation to be able to successfully have with your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like I was saying, like I know for me personally, if my mom was like, well, you've never tried this thing, maybe you'll like it, I would be like, fuck you. Like,
totally.
No, I won't.
Yes.
I know myself better than you, and I'm not, and I hate it. And now, in fact, because you've said that, I actually do hate it just on principle.
Totally.
And the way that Lorelai presents this to Rory, it's very, like I think you just alluded to it. Like, it's very, she's not making any claims. She's not saying if dances are good or bad. And she's being very specific about that.
Yes.
She doesn't want to lead Rory. But she's, she's just asking questions. She's like my therapist. She just asks questions.
No, that's really true. Yeah. No, and same. Like, if my mom, like, I like that she's naming, like, the possibility that she's shy. Because I think that can be, like, a really scary idea as a teen. Of like, I'm not shy. But she's just like, no, I mean, if you are, that's fine. But just, like, think about if that's what's making the choices for you or not.
Right. And the other thing is, so Rory's trying to, like, starting to warm up to this dance idea. But the final thing she says in the car is that she doesn't have a dress. And Lorelai says that she'll make her one.
Yes. And so she can get her hair done. And Rory's like, you won't think I'm an idiot. And she's like, depends on the hairstyle. But like, clearly that hurdle has been cleared.
And then I think we're going to go after that to Lane and Rory walking to school.
Lane's giving Rory the hard sell that she has to go right now and ask Dean to go to this dance because she needs the entertainment. Rory, this starts this thread of Rory resisting calling Dean her boyfriend. And she says he's her gentleman caller, to which Lane says, okay, Blanche.
Yes, I just wanted to make note, the bootcut pants in this scene are sending me. One is jean and one is corduroy. Actually, the corduroy, I don't even think is bootcut. I think it's a straight up flare. So if you had forgotten what a pair of corduroy flares look like, let me invite you to Gilmore Girls Season 1 Episode 9, because they're here.
I'm not going to lie, my coworker, who's younger and more fashionable than me, wore corduroy flares to work yesterday, and she looked fucking great. So let's all batten down the hatches. It's coming for us.
I mean, that's the thing about these trends, right? Like, none of them inherently necessarily are bad. Like, you can dress any of this stuff up. People looked good in low-rise jeans. Not these people.
So true.
But other people did at times.
So, yeah, it's when it's, like, compulsory. Like, it's not about, like, styling. And it's about, like, no, you wear this, obviously.
Right.
Totally. Right. Totally.
In this moment, it just randomly hit me that this episode is 23 years old. Like, this episode can legally drink in bars in the United States. I don't know. Something
and it's
about
not even
that
really
was
exciting to do it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's such a good point. I also had a grounding moment of in a time and a place when Lane says, like, one of the reasons she really needs Rory to do this right now to entertain her is that her mom threw out her TV when she caught Lane watching VIP, which I did not remember what that was. It was a show with Pamela Anderson. And Lane, like, maybe you and Paris should go, like, touch your tongues together and think about you love to watch Pamela Anderson. Like, what? Does not really vibe with my understanding of who Lane is unless she has a thing for Pamela Anderson.
I mean, I get it. I support that. And right? I want, yeah, I think Lane should explore that. Oh, so yeah. So this is all happening because they have spotted Dean, or they're like walking towards the grocery store where Dean works. And they're like watching him through the window, just be his little floppy haired self.
Yes.
And not to bring up my little Instagram friend, Sarah, again.
She's the star of the show. Don't call this show Rory's Dance. Call it Sarah's Dance.
Sarah's Dance. Because we had a conversation recently that was initiated by Heartstopper. She was asking if teenagers work after school jobs anymore.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When she was a teenager, they did. And I said, I don't know, because I don't know any teens. But I told her that, like, when we were growing up and in the area that we grew up, it was really hard to get an official after school job.
Mm.
Like, people worked, but they did, like, babysitting and under the table stuff. Like, people, if you wanted at 16 or 17 to get hired at, like, CVS in our town, I don't think that happened. I think it was really hard to do. So I don't know. I think that that might just be a difference between, like, growing up in a walkable city area. Mm. And I think Sarah grew up in, like, the Amherst area. So I think, I don't know. I think foot traffic has something to do with it. But
interesting. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see, like, there was more stuff we could do for free. So we didn't necessarily have to have a job right away. And
for sure.
A lot of people in our town did not need to have a job in general.
That's the other thing. You know, we just grew up in a really rich place where people didn't need to work necessarily. And I think a lot of kids too. Again, I think a lot of kids under the age of 18 get jobs so that they can get cars, right? They can save up for cars.
And which do the was gas.
And do the gas, which was a non-issue for us.
Totally.
Anyway.
Yes.
Just some interesting back and forth. But actually, I do think the job that Dean has is a job that I could see teenagers all over the world having, like an independent grocery store where you're
stocking
cans. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes. Which is exactly what he is there to do. He's putting green bean shipment on the shelf. And Rory says, yeah, sure. I love stocking beans. Oh, because he said, will you help me put them on the shelf? Sorry, I left out an important part of that. But yeah, she is just in her full, like, Rory, like, computer meltdown, trying to be romantic stuff vibe.
I said that Rory looks like a beautiful 12-year-old in this scene.
She looks
like,
so little in this scene.
So small for some reason.
She actually does look like an American Girl face, like that really chubby with a little, like,
yeah. I did, and I really liked all of her acting in this scene. I thought it was very subtle.
Yes.
And good. I wanted to make mention of this teeny tiny little market that they're in that's so cute. It's it's similar to the Dawson's Creek.
Yes. But then I'm also like, everything must cost $1 million if it's this small and cute.
I know.
Yeah, I love that she's trying to ask him to the dance without revealing it's a dance. So she's like, it's a formal event with clothes and chicken. Do you catch my drift? And the way she talked about the fact they probably serve chicken because it's like cheap and lots of people like it, I was like, do I hate chicken now? Like, it really put me off the idea of chicken.
Yes, Dean initially says no to going to the dance because he's, quote, not a big joiner. But the longer they talk about it, Rory, he can sort of see that, like, Rory actually does want to go.
Yes, even though she's using every excuse. She's like, I don't want, I'm not dying to go, but, like, at Chilton, it's very important to be involved in after-school activities.
So important. There might be some meowing in the background. So sorry, listeners.
She says,
Dean's like, okay, so if we, like, hypothetically, if we did go, what would I have to wear to the dance? And Rory's like, what, anything you want? No, really, whatever you're comfortable in is fine. And he keeps pushing, and she's like, some sort of pants would be nice. And then finally she breaks down and she's like, it's coat and tie.
I love though that she's leading with, like, literally anything you want, and then she's like, there is a formal dress code in this.
Exactly.
What a liar.
Now that you mention it,
And I really like the end of the scene is like, I understand everyone's Dean hate. I think it's probably going to be much more acute next season. Like, I get it. I'm not trying to anger anyone, but I did think this scene was very cute at the end.
He does a good job in this episode, I thought, of being like masculine and attentive. Like, I see why Rory likes him in this episode.
I think he's such a prototypical like idea of a first boyfriend who like does a lot of things that do like they're really I think they're like really good, and they're really good for like the character of Rory to bounce off of. Like, he does all the things to like be a really good boyfriend for her and create drama. And I think maybe where the issue is going to come up later is when it's a TV show, so they want him to stick around and around and around when it just does not make sense for them to be connected anymore. Or maybe it makes too much sense, just like people do that when they're like, it's my first and only love, I can't let go. Totally. But like, as a viewer, it's frustrating.
Right. And I'm not sure that will be the angle. I mean, maybe they do, but I'm not sure that's the angle they approach this with of like, I can't get away from my first boyfriend. Like, I'm done. I'm over it. But like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no.
Maybe they do.
I think they're like, everyone loves love triangles, and they're like, not not these queers.
Yeah, not these queers. But after that, we switch back to Lorelai's house. Lorelai is making Rory's dress and really struggling with this mannequin situation.
I like the physical comedy of it, like, fully tackling her to the ground.
I did, too. It really pins her.
And she has full mom sneakers on, which I also really appreciated.
Yes, that's important.
Yes.
The doorbell rings. It's, of course, it's Suki.
I'm so sorry.
Extra thread.
It's not just Suki. It's, like, original pilot Suki, as will be revealed by everything that subsequently happens. It's, like, back to, like, disaster Suki from the beginning. Oh,
yes. Correct. Yes. She shows up with food. She shows up with burritos and tacos and like extra too. She shows up with like several so that they can eat them tomorrow morning, which I was like, that's a food person.
That's such and such a good friend. Like, food's not cheap, bitch.
She shows up twice in this episode and then like immediately leaves. And just, I don't know. It's just, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
I'm just going to keep my conversation going of, is it just TV or are Lorelai and Rory using her for free labor?
So far, not sure.
Yes.
I did want to say, not to make it weird, but this coat on Suki with the big hair, she looks like a background extra from Buffy season 4, episode 1 with the like the other vampire gang that Buffy tangles with. And I love her, and I'm just wondering if Melissa McCarthy from the year 2000 would like to marry me. Double married. two wives.
Two wives, no waiting. I think you should try. You should reach out to her from that year.
I'm gonna time travel. Gonna make it happen.
Go to the hippie hallway. Inside joke. I also love that this version of her, like, yes, she's showing up with all the things, and Lorelai just messed up her back. And because she, I guess because she's so prone to injuries, she has not only an ace bandage, but a giant purse bulging with prescription, like, narcotics, like, street-level shit. Percodan, Vicodin, Darvocet, which I've never even heard of. And, of course, a very mild muscle accent.
Sure, sure, sure. You won't even notice it. Yeah. This was a moment where I was like, I can tell what the show is trying to tell me about this character via this delivery, but, like, I'm concerned.
Yes.
Why do you have all these prescription drugs?
And on you at all times.
All times, in the bag, ready to go.
Like, and not to bring it back to the bear place, but I think substance misuse is a really big issue in the restaurant industry. I'm so sorry to be that person.
Oh my God. It's a Gilmore Girls / The Bear mashup. Starring Suki St. J.
This is something I get jealous of. Yes, I understand. What are these kind of drugs called? Like oxy and stuff like that? Opioids.
Painkillers?
Oh. Opioids specifically. I know they're really bad. Yeah. But I feel like in TV shows and like often in Stephen King books, if something terrible happens, they've always got a bottle of Vicodin kicking around somewhere that they could be like, I would never take this normally, but I was just like attacked by my stalker and left for dead. And this will give me like enough recovery to like plot my revenge.
Right.
I have nothing. When I had my gum surgery, I was like crying, begging Mike to go on the streets and find me something. I was like, you know, people who grow marijuana, where's your OxyContin? And we could not. There was no resources for me. That is a good thing, I guess, that I couldn't get my hands on illegal drugs. But like, also, I think we should all have an emergency stash of one or two.
You know, the older I get, the more that I think that the legal process around drugs is ridiculous and designed to like trap people.
So true.
So I completely am on board with that. I feel, what is this, year 2000? So like, where was the opioid crisis? I think it was just sort of kicking off, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this is where we were like, it's a wonder drug. Pain as we knew right. It was over. Humanity just keeps on improving.
Right. And this like... the scripts flying out of a piece of, yes. Like a pad of paper. Yes,
and I understand that's bad. I want everyone to know I'm not advocating for more opioid use in our country.
No, not advocating for more use. I just think access is different than use.
Yes, that's and I think they've really overcompensated in like a not helpful way to, instead of like, yes, don't overprescribe. That is a very bad idea. Don't use it as like a band-aid to not deal with other stuff, blah, blah, blah. But like, when I got my wisdom teeth out in like 2018 or whatever, I was like, I remember it being very painful. Can I get a few of like the heavy duty stuff? And I had to like talk. And then I had to watch this video and they were like so judgmental. And I was like, I just want like four just to like get me. Like, you've never seen something. I'm around here always asking for stuff. I'm getting my wisdom teeth out. I don't know. I just don't think that's the answer.
I don't think so either.
Probably where it gets messy too is like the money part of it, because of the way that all our stuff works is like, it's not like we're just independently doing that. There's like a motivation for people to get us into a space of being like, you want opioids, because then like the insurance companies pay for blah, blah, blah. Or we pay for it.
Yeah. Anyway. Quick deviation about opioids. So yeah, we don't know why Suki's bag is full of drugs, but it is. And Lorelai faithfully doesn't take any.
But well, she does. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. She decides to leave. She's like, okay, well, I'll leave you these in case you change your mind. Of the muscle relaxer.
Yes.
Who knows what that actually was.
Sure.
And then she leaves.
So like, funny.
Why was Suki even here? Just to bring drugs and burritos? Like,
and like a giant thing of thread?
I know. But she leaves and Emily calls. Lorelai tells her that Rory is going to the dance and that she's making her a dress, to which Emily's like, don't do that. Like, let me buy her a dress or whatever. And then, wait, does Emily call or is she there?
She calls, because this is where she's like, take a picture for me. Yes. Take two. Okay, if you take them in chronological order, I can make a flip book and pretend I was there. And it's like, she finally invites her, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, that wasn't subtle. That was not a coincidence that happened.
Exactly. So yeah, in the end, she eventually, or Lorelai, invites Emily over before the formal to watch Rory like get ready and leave. And I think, I also really, again, love the physical comedy of Lorelai slowly drifting to horizontal on the floor as she's like, just being like, well, mom, why don't you just... Very realistic, very relatable.
And I think it's also realistic and relatable that she does not want her mom to know that she's injured, because her mom is an unstoppable force.
Correct. Yes. I also think it's very, very rude. I mean, Emily does rude things to Lorelai all the time, but I think it's very rude that she doesn't believe in her daughter sewing very much. Like, that's...
I went on such a journey with this. I was angry. Right. I was satisfied, but not satisfied enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of anger and satisfaction, we go to Chilton, where Paris is working the ticket selling line. And there is a line. Like, Rory has time to get through, like, at least a chapter standing in this line reading her book.
Yeah.
And first Tristan buys tickets from Paris. And do you think the implication is supposed to be that he is actually just really friendly towards her? Or that he's, like, flirting with her on purpose to, like, manipulate her? Like, what was your vibe? But there's definitely, like, nice flirting type. Like, he's, like, saying nice things about her hair and being like, oh, are you free if you could go with... Oh, you must have a date already. You're so
I think he's just yanking her around. I don't think he likes her at all. He just likes messing with her because he knows that she likes him.
I agree, because the way that he says, like, oh, you wouldn't happen to be, of course you're not free. I was like, that's not a mistake.
Exactly. He was never actually going to ask her. He's just yanking her around. And yeah, like he knows that everything he says to her is going to have a huge impact. So he's just going to like make that last longer. Like when he's like, I think he compliments her on something she's wearing. I can't remember, but like
she cut a quarter inch of her hair.
That's right. That's right. And she's like, and she responds like, yeah, I did get it cut at the quarter inch, like shorter.
It's yes. Like, yes. Okay. I think there is a vibe sometimes when people grow up together, which I think is the impression we're supposed to get of these two. I could be totally wrong. I'm so sorry. Not a spoiler. I don't know. Where like, even if they're nightmare people, they'll still be like nice sometimes to these people right. that they like grew up with because they just have that like childhood friendship mm-hmm. connection. So that's why I was like kind of on the fence at first. But I totally. Agree. Yeah, I think he's like knows what he's doing.
I wish that were not the case. I mean, it's Paris really likes him. And, you know, I like Paris. So yes. I wrote later,
no wonder Paris has the hots for this like feminine, soft faced waif.
I mean, chasing that Pamela Anderson high.
I don't think I want to see him run in a bikini, but if Paris does, then more power to her. He then goes over to bother Rory in the line, and it's so long that he stands there making her talk when she's just trying to read and buy this goddamn ticket in peace.
I know. She's in the line buying tickets, so like she already has a plan. He's like, they're talking, being like, you know, if she had said, I don't have anyone to go with, he would have invited her. But then when it's clear that she has a date, he just like keeps talking.
And like, I guess the first thing he says isn't like aggressive. Like he's just like, oh, reading again, that's novel, pun. But like so quickly he goes into like, well, he says, what are you doing here? And she says, I like lions, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
But he so quickly goes into, like, the guy is supposed to buy the tickets. Like,
oh, I know.
Oh, what if there is no guy? Just, like, I live in the greater Niagara Falls area. Like, what are we talking about? Like, he's so quick. Right, he's being a dick very quickly.
Oh, no. He goes straight to 100% horrible.
He says he confesses to her that he doesn't have a date. And she says, I hear Squeaky Fromm is up for parole soon. You should keep a good thought. And that really made me laugh.
That is really funny. Okay, he walks away, and then the line moves down, and because Rory's about to come face to face with Paris.
Yeah, she is.
Paris is pissed because Rory doesn't want Tristan, and she does.
Like, literally all Rory says is two, please, and Paris says, idiot!
Yeah, for real. And then she keeps going. She's like, you probably don't even have a date. You're probably going to come down with some very rare form of flu that only hits losers on dance night.
Yes.
And I love this whole back and forth. Actually, this happens when after Rory has handed over the money for the tickets,
yes.
she's waiting for her change. She tries to leave without the change at first, and Paris is like, "No!" Like, turns.
What
to
am I, your first teller? Wait for change.
Exactly. And then she makes the guy next to her go get the change, and while
she screams, she's... "Change now!" in his ear.
Yeah. So he figures out that she would like some change. And that's when she says this thing about rare flu. And Rory's like, you know what? I don't want my change. Money makes people shallow. And as she's walking away, this guy comes back with the change and Paris grabs it. And she's like, I've got your change. If you think I'm keeping this dollar, I'm not. At which point the guy that went and got the change is like, I'll take it. And Paris is like, shut up.
It's so good.
It's great. I just love, money makes people shallow, and now they're stuck with the money. Like, ooh, perfect.
It's so good. It's so good. I just, yeah, Paris is so pissed, and I kind of love it.
It's great. She gets so angry, and it's great when we find out later that she brought her cousin to the dance. So
that
delicious.
Is the thing. I really wonder if that ever happens in real life, because that's such a TV thing.
How could you not know, though, like, as another person that goes to that school? Like, obviously, I feel like you would know who their cousin was. Even if you, I don't know. Maybe I'm.
But I feel like if I wasn't friends with Caitlin, I wouldn't have known her cousins.
That's true. We got the tickets. Lorelai waiting for Rory to try on her dress.
Yes, I'm going to have to try really hard not to just quote every line in the scene, because they're just all pretty good. Like, I was, like, looking and I was like, I've highlighted, like, everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I think I said earlier when Suki shows up, she had burritos, but she doesn't have burritos then. She just has thread and drugs. And then in a second, she's going to show up with burritos and hot sauce.
Thank you. Thank you for that correction.
Sorry.
For those of you tracking the burrito situation at home, please adjust your notes accordingly.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I wrote, she truly has hot sauce in her bag. Swag.
Oh, good one.
The dress looks so cute also. It's like this sort of, it's not midnight blue. It's like a shale blue.
Oh, shit. Someone's been redecorating their home.
It's got a full skirt and it's like a little off the shoulder moment.
It's so good.
I actually love it with the combat boots that she's wearing initially. I think absolutely. That's a really like gory look.
And she's got her hair. She's got her hair up in like some kind of like maybe French like twist. Oh, yes, French braided, yeah. Up, not updo, like low but yeah. Contained do.
A coif.
And with little like fake baby's breath in it. Mm-hmm. Like she. Like, really, she looks beautiful in the way that you, to me, that I say that about kids. Like, she looks, like, so beautiful, but not in a way where I'm like, yummy.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah, totally.
This is a pure beauty.
I agree, for sure. I also really loved all of Alexis Bledel's physical acting in this scene. Like, she just looks like such a kid. She's just, like, stomping around in this beautiful dress. I mean, at one point, she does, there's, like, a joke where she comes in with, like, a huge napkin tucked into the front of her dress. Loved that. Laughed really hard.
Yes.
But in general, like, even before that, she's just sort of, like, you know, she's got, like, a fancy dress on. She's, like, twirling around.
Yes, but, like, when she's swirling, her arms are, like, totally flaccid. Yeah. Just like, wee, mommy, exactly. Look at me.
It's so childlike, and she's just having a good time. It's really sweet.
Well, she is a baby, because earlier when she's primping, Lorelai says, like, you're 16, you have skin like a baby's ass, there's nothing to primp, and of that was not true of me, of I, at that age, but it is true of Rory.
Correct.
But yeah, like, it's just so sweet when she comes in, like, Lorelai's like, someone hit you with the pretty stick, and Rory's, like, telling her how amazing the dress is, and that she outdid herself, and Lorelai is like, it's beautiful, and you're beautiful. And she, like, fixes her stray hair in a way that feels really, like, real and mom-like. She's, like, clucking and, like, spitting on it and, like, it's just really good.
It is really good. I love this scene. And I love to see Rory having fun because she's such a dour little thing sometimes.
Are you, it's like, just... a Victorian aunt who took in an orphan? She's such a dour little thing sometimes.
I love to see her enjoying the afternoon.
Oh, golly.
And then Tsuki shows up. She's brought burritos and hot sauce.
Thank you.
Enough burritos to eat the next day.
Yes. Which does make more sense as a friendship move because of her thrown out back. Like, it's like, it's already really helpful and lovely that she's come over twice. But if she had brought over extra burritos for future meals when she wasn't laid up, that would have been like too extra.
That's so true. Yes. I mean, it seems like that is something that Lorelai would let her do, but you're right. That is quite
true.
Extra.
But yes, I'm glad that that's a little more contained. Lorelai says, "You take such good care of me," and I was like, "She does," and let's keep tracking that. Like, I hope it's reciprocated.
100%, and just put a pin in that.
Yes,
I did, and I loved one of the lines that I did write down from the scene was when Lorelai. Because, okay, Tsuki goes to spray Rory's hair with hairspray.
Yes.
And she, like, gets all ready and, of course, presses the nozzle and it sprays backwards into her eye because it's Tsuki, naturally.
And we've returned to the Tsuki of, like, maximum danger.
Correct. So she's immediately out. She has to go to the bathroom and, like, unglue her eyelashes.
Her eyelashes are all stuck together, yeah.
So Lorelai ends up hairspraying Rory's hair. And she says, okay, that will be good for 6 slow dances, 4 medium ones, 1 lumbata. But if you plan on doing any moshing, I suggest another coat.
And Rory, again, it's such good, like, mom-daughter acting because Rory is, like begging for mercy. Like, enough! I can't! Please!
And then they put a perfect comedy bow on it because from the bathroom, we hear Tsuki yell, Rory, sweetie, is this soap by the sink in the silver bottle? And Rory's like, no.
And Lorelai's like, get in there.
Get in there.
So true. Cute. Also, I'm so sorry. This is not an important detail, but I feel like in other TV shows.
Is it burrito? Is it about burritos?
It is about the tacos, which is that I would be really. It's like when people start to eat food in movies and then don't finish eating it. And it drives me literally insane. If they had sprayed all that hairspray with the tacos on the table, I would have been physically angry, but Lorelai says shield the tacos and they put them out of the way, and I was like, that's realism. That's cinema.
That's cinema, baby.
That's the French new wave. Let's go.
So true. I hear you, I see you, I feel you. Yeah, I'm on board. Shield the tacos. At one point, Emily does arrive after
she does. She does.
Leaves.
She does, and Lorelai says, "We're in here." And Emily says, "We're in here." That's how you answer the door. And Lorelai says, "Well, I was all out of Saran wrap," which I assume is a reference to fried green tomatoes, unless fried green tomatoes was referencing something else. Listeners, let me know.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it is like a. I think that's. It's like a prank. like a fairly well-known prank, I think.
I think, but, no, well, at least in Fried Green Tomatoes, I think it's actual advice that they gave housewives of, like, answer the door in a dress made of saran wrap to, like, entice it's not like the saran wrap the desk joke. It's like you wrap yourself in saran wrap and answer the door so your hubby will be like,
so he'll pop a boner.
Exactly. And then, you know, once he squirts it all over you, you can just take the saran wrap off and it's clean. No mess. Perfect. No muss, no fuss.
No muss, no fuss. Set it and forget it. After Emily. After.
She's such a dour, quiet little thing, Emily. Oh,
sweet Emily. Can't take the vapors, you know. No, Lorelai, after Emily arrives, Lorelai makes a mention to Ann Taylor. I can't remember. She's like, you look like there's a sale on at Ann Taylor or something along those lines.
Right.
And I just wanted to mention, do you remember my weird Ann Taylor phase from our 20s when all I wanted to do was dress like a dress and drink like a rich divorcee?
Yes, I do. And I think it's also kind of like wrapped up in some of your other style trends and trends in general that were happening around that time. Like, I think there was a thing of like going out to party looking like you were at the office. But yes, I definitely remember your own specific spin on that.
Totally. No, 100% true. And I did not realize that because this is like the 2010s-ish or whatever that we're talking about. So I feel like I was, I don't know, I was like too far in it to see it from the outside.
Sure.
But having experienced the like the jokes on Instagram of people like pretend doing stuff that they did as teenagers, there's like a couple of them that I follow that are really funny.
Yeah.
Yes, finding out that we used to dress like we were going to the office to go to da club or to a party. I never went to da club.
We just went to a house.
Is hysterical.
Yes.
And like all of the huge fake statement necklaces, I'm triggered every time.
Absolutely. I wonder what Emily thought of that trend when it was happening.
She probably loved it. Ann Taylor. We love an Ann Taylor. Oh, and this was where I also wanted to say LMAO at Rory's entrance because Emily's like, oh, I want to get all ready. I want to take the
perfect
picture.
How's the lighting?
You know what? I'll just use one with the flash and one without just so we have our bases covered. And then she's like, oh, Rory, come in here, won't you? And Rory walks in eating
stomps
a taco
in. Yes.
Stomps in. Yeah, she's still got the combat boots on. She stomps in, she's eating a taco, and she's got a huge napkin,
which is smart.
It's genius. She did the right thing. It is just hysterical.
Yes. And the way that she's like calming the little pieces into her mouth like a little taco squirrel.
Yes, and completely does not read the vibe at all. She's like, hi, Grandma. Like, so excited to see her.
And Emily, of course, is like to Lorelai, like, she's lived with you too long. And Lorelai is very nice. And she's like, honey, like, lose the bib, lose the taco, put your shoes on, come back out and let Grandma get the pretty picture. And Rory is just so like, okay. Like, she's just so down for whatever.
Cool. She's so happy.
Well, that's about to change.
Well, yes. But before that, I think Emily finds out that Lorelai's back is hurt, and this starts with...
Oh, yes, yes.
This starts, like, their storyline, but that's, like, a brief note, but yes.
Well, because the Suki is going to walk home, like, basically blinded, and everyone's like, oh, she's not driving, so we'll allow it, and it's like, she can't see.
Right.
She has been permanently de-sighted, and I think we should be more concerned.
Someone should probably go with her, but
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Emily does say to Lorelai, she's like, I'm so glad you decided to buy Rory a dress. And the suggestion is instead of making her one. And Lorelai just winks at Rory because she made the dress. And I thought that was really cute.
I was really angry. I was like, do not let her get away with this. Tell her you made that dress. But then she says it later because I would have been like writhing in agony the rest of my life if she'd never made that reveal.
It did make me wonder what the benefit would be what the benefit is of letting Emily think she bought a dress as opposed to her making it, just so that she'll like stop talking about it. That's what I assume.
And I think that's a lot. I think that's something that happens a lot in the show in general, is that Lorelai will like wink or like make a little comment to someone else and be like, then I don't have to address it in person. But for my personal philosophy of life, I'm like, no, like you are right. Like, this is your vindication. You made a beautiful dress and your mom's being a shit monster. Yeah, like, don't let her get away with that.
Justice.
But yes, this is where Emily does find out about her back spasm is what she calls it. right. during this back and forth, because Suki is like, you know, I'll come back if you need help or whatever.
Right. And then the dress thing happens. And then after that, then Dean arrives. This is when things start to go somewhat sour.
Yes.
Dean arrives and he's honking the car.
Which is what he and Rory agreed he would do for her to know to come out.
Correct. But Emily's not having that.
She says, Emily, I don't care what you told him. If he wants to take you out, he will walk up to this door and say good evening and come inside for a moment like any civilized human being would know what to do.
Lorelai's even like, Mom, I've met him. Like, this is not his first time here.
Yes.
Like,
well, and Emily says, well, I haven't. And it's like, Emily, right. you don't. You cares? Don't need to.
I know, to like do this huge manipulation strong arm tactic of like making this boy come in when everyone here knows this boy. I don't know.
And part of me is still like, why do Lorelai and Rory let her make this call?
I know.
Like, she's not going to physically. I know Rory's just like trying to be nice and polite, but she's also pissed. So it's like, well, if you're pissed, just like go outside. Like,
right. Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. She's just like an old lady. And we already know that she doesn't like, it's not like she pays for anything except the schooling. But like,
right.
So she's got, Emily has Lorelai and Rory's balls in their inner hand in that sense. But like, yeah, everything else, like, who cares?
Yeah.
She's going to be pissed anyway.
Yeah. Why don't you just be like, Grandma, I'm really sorry, but I have to go. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm sorry. I have to go.
Right.
But no, instead they all have to sit there in absolutely excruciating silence while Emily's like, he'll figure it out. And he keeps honking. And she says, he's not a very bright boy, is he?
And like, I get why Emily said that, but you're doing it. Oh, I hate polite stuff like this. Like,
it's because it's a test.
It's a test. And he doesn't know he's being tested. And yes. You can't. That's not fair.
Like, what if Rory was like, my house is embarrassing right now. Like, it's a mess. I don't want you to come in and see it.
Right. I mean, they agreed that that was what they were going to do. And now it doesn't make sense for you to change the plan at this, like, right now of all times for nothing.
Totally. Totally. But I'm sure the people who hate Dean, like, have that clip of Emily saying he's not a very bright boy. Like, they masturbate to that every night. So
100%. And I'm happy for them.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Because I have so much hate for Emily, I do want to highlight something she said that I liked a little bit earlier, which is when Lorelai was talking about it's just a back spasm. And she says, and she's like, it's just a normal back spasm. And Emily says, there's nothing normal about a back spasm. The very fact that it has the word spasm in it means it's not normal. And I agree with her. And people do not take medical issues seriously enough. Okay, thank you. I hate on Emily a lot, but she's totally right with that line.
Sometimes she is right. Once in a great while, she's right. So eventually, Dean does come in, picks up Rory. They have like a brief conversation with Emily. I don't remember anything that
after Emily made that big fucking deal about how he had to come up and meet everyone, Emily says, like, Emily Gilmore. And he says, hi. And she says, hello. And Lorelai says, well, great rap session. See you later tonight. It's like, okay, I'm so glad we went through all that fucking rigmarole.
Exactly. And that's like, that's always Emily's thing. Like, she doesn't have a real plan. She just knows that she has to control the situation.
Yes. And as part of that, when they're leaving and Lorelai's like, have fun, Emily says, be home by 11. And Lorelai mouths like 12 in the background. But it's like, Emily, this is not your home. This is not your child. The fact that she not only thinks maybe she can set the rules about curfew, but just goes ahead and does it is like everything that's wrong with her as a person.
I agree. does not think about it, does not wonder.
No.
The other thing about this scene that I wanted to mention is that at this point I realized Lorelai was wearing a 3-color dip dye long sleeve shirt with some kanji symbols on the front of it.
Oh shit.
And I just wanted to say, like, it's the millennium, baby. Delicious.
No, she's like, and isn't she wearing like beige slacks under that or something? Oh, God, like that, like cargo pants.
Something equally horrifying.
And then
I think
yes. Well, Emily just goes into a whole thing about, like, what do you know about him? Like, does he drink? And Lorelai's like, yeah, like a fish. And Emily's like,
that's not
a stupid question. And she's like, yes, it is, because if I knew that he drank, why would I have just blithely been like, have fun, kids, and like sent them out the door? Like, it is a stupid question, lady.
Right. Yeah, because I am like Rory's mom and I'm doing the mom job.
Yeah, I'm doing a great job. She's a good kid.
Right. There's a brief scene of Dean and Rory in the car on the way to the dance. If we're ready to move.
The only thing that other thing to I think to touch on that scene is that Emily, now that she knows about the back spasm, is like, what are you gonna do if you have to go to the bathroom? Like, what are you gonna do if there's an emergency? And she like makes Lorelai stand up to prove it. And Lorelai's just standing there, like kind of hunched in pain, and Emily's like, move. Go on, I hear you. Like, move. Show me you can go to the bathroom. And Lorelai's like, I am moving. Standing totally still. So Emily decides she's gonna like stay and take care of her.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yeah, because Lorelai can't do anything on her own. Yes, thank you for bringing that up too, because I did want to say that scene, what she says back to Emily really made me laugh. Emily's like, what if you can't move? What if you have to go to the bathroom? And Lorelai's like, I gave it up, cold turkey. That really got a laugh out of me.
Yes, I also really like when she can't make herself move and she's like, I'm doing it. And then she gives up, she goes, rats.
Oh, boy. Okay. Dean and Rory in the car?
Yes. I'm ready now.
This is a really... I didn't have much to say about this, but just that Rory is nervous about the dance because she's scared of the people that she goes to school with.
Yes.
And there was a movie ref between them, another kind of like vague, but like slightly more exotic than I would expect a teenager in a random high school to have seen. They mentioned The Outsiders.
Yep.
Which they have both seen, and Rory says, just call me Pony Boy, which it's been too long since I've seen The Outsiders for me to know what that means, but
I just remember I know Stay Golden related. Pony Boy. I don't remember what exactly. Pony Boy was doing to Stay Golden about.
Same.
They could have just called this episode, just call me Pony Boy. That's better than Rory's dance.
Right? Would have been much better.
But yeah, so that's she's doing that thing of like, oh, they're awful, like, call me Pony Boy. Like, and but I did hear the venue is beautiful, so maybe we can check it out for five. And it's like, it's cute the way it plays out, but for me personally, if I was with someone who kept going through this rigmarole and being like, you decide if we should go, would drive me literally insane. I'd be like, if we're going, we're going.
Yeah.
We're not going to change the plans mid-car ride. I mean, that's crazy. Come on.
Snapping pencils in the front seat.
Let alone you decide. No, I do not decide. We've decided it's done.
Right.
Goodbye.
Right. We're going. I mean, we're in the car. I do appreciate that they're both like, because I feel like this is a very relatable thing of like, okay, we'll go and we'll just spend like 5 minutes.
True,
like,
true.
Then we can like immediately leave and then you get there and it's fine and you stay longer. That's like the story of my life.
And that is how you like coach yourself through like those things where you're like, am I just shy or anxious or do I really not want to do this? Is be like, let's just try it for 10 minutes and see what we think. We can leave if we need to.
Right, exactly. We bought back to Emily and Lorelai. Emily starts hunting around for these crystal candlesticks that she gave Lorelai last Christmas. I don't know why, but she is looking for them, and she finds
she's gonna
out
like
that...
do some like mood lighting to help Lorelai's back feel better.
I know. I assume it's just random, and she's like, "Where are those candlesticks? I gotcha." But she's like hunting around in closets and stuff looking for them, and Lorelai has to tell her that she didn't need, like, she didn't use them, she didn't like them, she didn't need them, so she returned the candlesticks and bought a monkey lamp. This was very relatable for me because I would buy a monkey lamp and then I would have to tell somebody what my thought process was buying the monkey lamp, and I would just have to like melt into a puddle, I guess.
Yes, that's true. I could see you having similar decorating urges as Lorelai. You know?
I feel like all of the weird shit that I've dragged home from the thrift store over the years that I then have to be like, well, yeah, I mean, it is a ceramic mug shaped like a boob. No, we don't use it.
But yes, we will remember it forever as titty cup. Like, we will never be free. I like the way that Emily describes it as they're holding coconuts and leering.
Leering. What do you think's going on?
I also love Emily's tirade of like, this is not about just the bad breeding of returning a gift. This goes right to the heart of the question of taste. You were given something of sustenance and you cast it off for ridiculous, slightly sinister barroom decoration. Explain this to me, Lorelai, which is insane. And Lorelai just like pulls a little blankies up to her neck and goes, my back hurts.
She knows nothing else is going to get the job done.
And I'm assuming it works as we cut away.
Yeah, one must assume. And then we're gonna bop back to the dance.
Yes.
And my first note is, whoa, swanky joint. Pretty nice. I mean, I know that Chilton has all the dollars, but
pretty cool. No, yeah, the lighting's cool, definitely a lot better than a lot of the only school dance I ever went to, aka prom. And raft dances when we were in middle school.
Yeah, I don't remember what the lighting was like at the
I don't think it was great. I think it was a gym. So
I remember, yeah, there was one room that was a gym, and then there was like a sweaty other, like a locker room of some kind where we could like buy chips. That's
sure, sure. But yeah, this is much more classy. And we also see Louise and Madeline. Is it Madeline or Madeline?
I think it's Madeline.
Okay. Louise and Madeline, like, you know, flopping around because they're bored. They want to be, like, you know, dirty dancing, and that's not happening. I'm assuming they don't have dates, or they are each other's dates. But then when they see Dean and Rory together, they're like, oh, she looks good. And, like, Louise is like, who's the dish? And Madeline says, beats me. And Louise says, he's not of the manor born, that's for sure. So I guess that means he's, like, a
trash.
I mean, yes, he's like, you know, a farmhand that she's taken up with.
An urchin, yeah.
Street but like urchin. Strong sensual urchin.
True. Yes, 100%. These vampire harpies look so good. Their dresses are incroyable.
Yes.
Madeline, who I believe is my girlfriend from
but you've already picked
episodes.
Her for who you would do, so
I know I'm gonna have to look inward for the answer there, but she looks incredible. She when they like go, and the other one looks good too. She's wearing like a black, okay, I'm so sorry, my girlfriend Madeline is wearing like a red, it's like sheer a little bit, it's very lacy, it's like red and sheer and lacy kind of a dress. There's like a lot of ties and stuff. It's very of the moment. It's very TJ Maxx but like classy. And the other one is wearing a velour, similar to the blue velvet dress that Lorelai wore a couple episodes. A straight necked with spaghetti straps. The spaghetti straps have like black lace on it. They just look so good. And now when they see Rory and Dean, they make a beeline. I wrote, these vampire harpies are holding hands and making a beeline for Rory's beefcake.
Accurate.
And they like introduce, oh, but they're as Louise leads Madeline over towards them, they're holding hands, which was a thrilling moment for me.
I love it.
And then they introduce themselves.
They have a back and forth where like they're like complimenting her dress, and Rory says her mom made it, and then Louise and Madeline are on two very different journeys where Madeline is like about to come asking Dean how tall he is, and Madeline is like spiraling that her mom can't make anything while she makes the gloppy soup. But you know what, she can't make it because it's terrible, so never mind, she makes nothing.
She cannot let this go. She is very upset that her mom doesn't sew.
I mean, Lorelai's skills I think would put anyone in a tizzy.
Yeah, 100%. This dress is gorgeous. It's even got like a zipper in it. Incredible.
It's amazing. I think we should also start a segment where we just keep a running tab of like the incredible skills that Lorelai has.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Oh, the blonde. And while my girlfriend Madeline can't stop thinking about the fact that her mom can only make soup and not very well, Louise is like making eyes at Dean, asking all these questions, clearly like making a play. And he, when he like cottons on a little bit, he makes it obvious that he's taken by like walking around Rory and like putting his arms around her and like asking him, I don't know what he says, but
he's like,
asks
is that
her
too
something.
Tall? And she's like, no, in heels. And then like, yeah. And then they, I think they make out like right in front of them. They're like, watch our love.
Look at it.
And this is another moment where Rory was like, this is Dean. So we're still tracking this like journey of like, she's not ready to say boyfriend.
Totally. Yes. Thank you. And I did laugh because after the girls, so they are like making out in front of Louise and Madeline. And after they leave, after Madeline says one last like nice thing to Rory where she's like, I really like your dress or something like
that. Yeah.
They leave. And I laugh because Rory turns around to Dean after they leave and she says, hey, you're nice. And like it was really cute and I loved it. It also really sounds like you trying to convey any kind of positive emotion towards anyone
I saw
ever.
Myself in it. Yes.
Hey, you're nice. I was like,
you
okay,
just kind of grunt it, then you don't have to be scared about telling your emotions.
Nothing. Like that in that moment, that is the most vulnerable thing that she's willing to say to him.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
You're nice.
Yes. Very good. And then they go slow dance. So see, my
perfect
work.
It just was you in a moment, and I laughed.
Is this where we get Paris and her Paramore.
Yes. Basically, they start slow dancing. Rory and Dean start slow dancing to Fade Into You, which is a great song. It was my friend Kate's. It was a old Booksmith friend's first dance at her wedding, and I love that. It's really pretty. And they kiss on the dance floor. There's some kissing. And then over in the like background, Tristan is like gloomily watching as they dance on the dance floor.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's where Dean asks if a nun is going to come like eject him if he tries to kiss her, which was really funny. Right. So maybe they didn't kiss in front of the friends. Maybe I made that up.
They were like definitely snuggling or
something.
Like,
yeah. I think before that, before they dance, even they quickly run into Paris and her cousin, because that's when he says hi and she's like, don't be polite. She's an enemy. Okay. But it's really nothing. They just say like, hi. Paris is like, oh my God, you're here. And she's like, yeah, you sold me the ticket, you dumb bitch.
But I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think I missed that when I was watching the episode, because later he comes back and he's like, you remember me from before with Paris? And I was like, I guess.
And you're like, I Zoe, I do not.
But whatever. I guess I must have like looked at my phone during that scene or something.
Yes. So now when Tristan is glowering at them, I loved the scene where his date, Sissy, comes out of the bathroom and is like, just so clearly unburdened by an excess of thoughts, which I say that with real envy. Yeah, like, she is absolutely a lighter, happier, more effective person.
Yes.
She's like, comes out of the bathroom and is like, okay, I'm perfect now. And Tristan doesn't even look at her. And she's like, you want to dance? And he's like, no. And she's like, want to eat? And he's like, no. And then she says, you want to go make out? And he's like, ugh, fine, whatever.
Like, long pause. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Sissy's got it all going on.
I do love that. I love that for her. I love that she's really, truly yes. down for whatever.
Yes. And she's got the like 90s like hair sprouts yes. coming out of the back of her head, like the whale. Love that. What is that called? Is there a name for that hairstyle where like the bits are blopping out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever that is, she's got it.
She's got it. She's got it going on.
She's got the look.
And then, so he leaves to make out with his weird and incredible date.
Yes.
Then we're going to bop back to Emily and Lorelai quickly.
For the infamous mashed banana on toast.
This was interesting. Yeah. Emily brings her mashed banana on toast, brings Lorelai mashed banana yes. on toast. And she's like, I used to make this for you when you were a kid all the time. And Lorelai has no memory of this.
She's honestly like, you did?
I know. Yeah, like truly does not know what she's talking about. And then Emily gives it to her and she won't eat it. Like she's not being rude about it.
Right. She's like, don't take it away. Like, hold on. Yeah. I'll hold on to it. But she's like, this does look gross. I won't eat it.
And then the only important thing that happens in the scene is that she pops one of Suki's goofballs.
That is, although I was expecting more of a thing. Like, I thought she'd do something weirder. She just kind of goes to sleep, but I'm glad that she took care of her pain. It is an interesting push and pull where she's like, I'm connecting with my mom and that she's like taking care of me. And she's like, bring up this thing from my childhood when she took care of me then. So I like don't want her to like throw it away in a huff, yeah. But I don't. Like, banana on toast, that doesn't sound that great, but like, if I was emotionally invested in connecting with my mom, I could definitely choke that down. Like, I've eaten like toast with peanut butter and banana, like
100%.
So it's just like a weird push and pull where she's like, I will not eat it. I will not let you throw it away.
I know. Mm-mm. Yeah. No, so true that she won't let Emily throw it away. So she like gets that this is important to Emily in some yes. way. But yeah, she can't even bring herself to take a little bite out of, I assume all it is banana on toast. Like maybe not the best combo I've ever heard.
Right.
But it, you know, yeah, like
anchovies
you said.
And banana and toast.
Exactly. Like I've choked down weirder stuff, and I know that Lorelai. Don't say it. Don't say it. I know that Lorelai, like
has choked down weirder stuff too. That's why she has a baby.
No, I know that one of Lorelai's things is like she's weird about food or whatever, and has like specific food. Yeah, do's and don'ts.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Through this whole scene, I was just like, it's just toast and banana, right?
Right,
like,
what
else could it be?
And as we're talking, it does feel like a macrocosm of their relationship where, like, she is like, I know that I don't want my, like, she's my mom. Like, yes, she's been terrible. And I think we both think that she should feel very free to set as many boundaries as she needs to or cut her off completely as she needs to. But, like, if she wants to connect with her mom, but she's also like, I have to keep this boundary of, like, I can't give in too much because it's a slippery slope, which seems true based on everything we've seen from Emily.
Completely, yes. That is what I see Lorelai doing in this moment. She's just trying to keep this from becoming a thing.
Yes, Emily, yes.
Like, as best as she can. And it's almost impossible because Emily can make a thing out of anything. So, what I see in this scene is Lorelai trying to, like, keep the lid on this evening.
Very, yes, absolutely. And then there's another little moment like that later where she's like, well, Suki left me a burrito. And Emily's like, oh, in the fridge. Yes. And Emily's like, I'll warm it up for you. And Laura's like, I can eat it cold. And then she kind of sees that her mom does want to, like, take care of her in some way. And she's like, oh, but, I mean, hot's better, though.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. No, there's a lot of, like, trying in this episode.
Which is, and very purposely, I'm sure, but is what makes it so tragic when everything goes so wrong in the end, because they have made these strides to really try.
So true. But before we get there, we're going to go back to the dance. I see. So I have Rory is talking to some schlub she met earlier, Jacob. This is clearly the date that
cousin Jacob.
Yes, this is when she finds out that, he asks her out. This guy, Jacob, asks Rory out, or is, like, you know, hunting around trying to find out what her deal is. And then when he finds out that...
Sniffing around.
And then, because he's like, that isn't your boyfriend, right? And they have that conversation about, like, oh, yes and no, whatever. And Rory is like, aren't you here with Paris? Like, why are you, what's happening? And this is when we find out that he is Paris's cousin.
Yes. And I love, based on what we see later, Rory is so happy. She's like, you know, good to meet you. I hope you have a lovely evening. Yes. But I love that it's Rory. Like, she's not happy because she's going to use it against Paris. I don't think she even tells Dean. She's just going to, like, keep it as a little, like, pearl of happiness to feel better.
Correct. It's just a bargaining chip. It's just a little something. Something to give her a little boost.
Speaking of a little boost, we go back to Rory and Lorelai's house, where Emily and Lorelai are on the couch watching an old movie, and they're talking about Barbara Stanwyck, who I also love. They're talking about how Emily's like, oh, I love her. She has that wonderful voice, that husky, deep voice. I just love that voice, which is like Emily. You were talking about marrying that mustachioed lady in another episode listened to.
Like, Emily. The allegations are stacking up, Miss Emily.
Be very modern of you, as you said last time. And Lorelai's like, Mom, you kind of have a Barbara Stanwyck-y voice. And Emily's like, I do not. And she's like, I mean it. You could have had Fred McMurray off Dad if you really wanted to. And Emily says, like, oh, you do enjoy teasing me, don't you? And Lorelai's like, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Correct.
But I just like that. This is like peak connecting in some ways.
I was going to say, this is the most fun I've seen Emily have.
Yes.
Like, since this show began. So.
Yes. This is the Ann Taylor sale.
Yeah, there you go. Then we go back to, Emily says that Lorelai tells Emily that she made the dress.
Thank God. I felt Thank such God. Sweet release.
Me too. And not only that, but Emily responds actually the way that she should, where she says, you did a lovely job with Rory and the dress. Good
it
job,
was really
Emily.
Good. Yes. And Lorelai just says, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. There's still a little part of me that wishes Emily had more of a shock moment of, like, fuck, I'm a dick. Like, I really didn't, I don't know my daughter. Like, she's so good at this and I so undercut her, but it's fine. It's still a beautiful moment. I just was like, I wanted a little bit more of, like, a moment of, like, oh, fuck, I really am a dick.
I know. I mean, I agree. I do also think that would be hard to walk back. Like, we need Dick Emily for several, like,
forever, I
that.
Think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But but I agree. I wanted more of an astonishment too. But I do like that she adds that Lorelai did a lovely job with Rory, because it's also admitting that, like, I had no hand in raising this person.
Yes, and all my worries were, like, me worrying, like, Rory is good.
Right, right. Yes, so true. Yeah. Yes.
And this is the moment where Lorelai's like, you know what? You did me a solid. I'm gonna try this banana toast. It's fucking disgusting. And then Emily's like, can't be that bad. And she takes a bite and she's like, what was I thinking? My whole life
so
is a lie.
Bad. I love too that she's so energetic about it or whatever,
yes.
like very cartoonish, where she's like,
she like has to like run into the kitchen to throw it out and like dispose of the evidence.
I was like, you guys are cut from the same cloth.
So true. As much as they fight it, yes.
Then we're gonna go right back to the dance for a sec. Oh, we're gonna We're going to get a little bit of Paris's insane energy as she confronts Rory for knowing about Jacob.
Because Dean goes off to get their jackets because they're going to leave so they can go have some like alone time now that they've done their dance thing.
I love that the mini little scene of them explaining that because, like, I don't know. I was so lost too because Rory's just asking all the questions that happened in my head too, where she's like, why would we leave? We're here. And he's like, well, so we can like hang out or something. And she's like, okay. Like, just sort of.
She also felt like my inner self where he was like, could we maybe go fairly soon? And she's like, oh, you're having a terrible time. You're bored. Let's go. Where it's like, no, bitch. She had I'm saying bitch a lot this episode. I'm so sorry to everyone. But yeah, she's like, he's like, no, I am having a good time. I just want to like do something else with you too.
Yeah. But before, so while he's getting the coats, Paris fucking comes in so hot.
Yes.
Confronts Rory for knowing about Jacob. She is yelling about how pathetic she personally is.
He is my cousin!
Screaming! To the point where eventually Rory's like, I don't need to tell them. You just did. And she turns around and like everyone's looking at them.
One of my favorite TV things. I don't have to tell them because you just did. I'm wearing a wire.
And then we're going to get some Tristan and Dean heat.
I agree with you that Dean did pretty good, but I found this so boring. I have no notes.
Totally boring. It's pathetic. I mean, nobody really fights. And they're just like
it just
tussling.
Pushes shovesies at dawn.
Exactly. But I did want to mention that if I had been a boy, my name would have been Tristan. So that's fun.
Oh, what a moment for this reveal.
I know. Well, and then my mom... later on in life after Fern Gully came out, she said she didn't know that Trista was an option for a girl's name, so my name was almost Trista.
That is such a different vibe. I'm so curious if you would have picked up a nickname to not be just Trista. I just see you so as Zoe.
I know. Well, the other thing was is that the name that she wanted for me that I always am disgusted by. Sorry, people out there that might be named.
Oh shit!
It's just not for me. But her two choices for names were Zoe and Cassandra, and I always think about what if I had been a Cassandra.
But anything you said, you could have been like, "This is my prophecy."
True. I mean, in that case, I definitely would have gone nickname. I would have been Cassie or something like that. But. Anyway, fun facts about me.
Those are fun. Those are both very fighting. Like classical names, like Tristan and Isolde, like Cassandra.
I know.
Then just go Zoe. It's like such a different vibe.
I hadn't made the connection between the fact my grandmother's name is Isolde. I hadn't really put those two together. I don't think my mom did either. I think it's just a coincidence. But I will say the only thing I wrote about this scene of their fighting is a quote from 10 Things I Hate About You. It's my favorite quote from 10 Things I Hate About You. It happens when they're talking about Kat, Julia Stiles' role. Mm-hmm. And Heath Ledger says, what, does this chick have beer-flavored nipples?
That's so true. Everyone's fucking losing their minds for Rory.
And I gotta ask, does this chick have beer-flavored nipples?
It's just, like, and their fight over her, I'm, like, just looking at my, because I have the transcript here, it's pages and pages. Like.
Oh, my God.
It goes on, and just, like, just talking about Rory.
Yeah.
There's a couple Dean lines that were really classic to me. One was, are you seriously trying to act tough? You're wearing a tie, for God's sake.
I have that one, too. He says, I'm not fighting you. It'd be like fighting an accountant. I'll call you when I need my taxes done.
Okay. The line, though, where he seemed like there was one line where I was like, this could be romantic, but it feels like a little too much. Like, I can't enjoy it because it's like a little too much for me. And the line that was legitimately just stupid was when he goes, you don't want to fight me, Tristan. And Tristan says, why not? And he goes, because I'll kill you, idiot.
Perfect.
I was like, you're a bad boy. Let's not get too crazy. And then I guess Tristan is like stalking in their direction and like coming towards him and Rory, and Dean says, you will not come near her ever again. Which is like, if you're a vampire or like a nobleman, like sure, but it's a little intense for a high school student. Like, they go to school together.
It's a little intense for sure. And I think I jumped across this little peep back in at Emily and Lorelai. So let me just mention that in between these, we like take a break during the fight. And we just quickly bop back to Lorelai and Emily. And Lorelai falls asleep because she's taken that goofball. And Emily tucks her in on the couch. And Lorelai whispers, "Thank you, Mommy," while half asleep.
Aww.
This is very sweet. But then we go right back to the fight. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not fighting you. It'd be like fighting an accountant. And Rory and Dean leave, I think, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and Madeline and Louise are like, well, Madeline's like, "That was really good." And Louise is like, "Whatever."
Yeah. Whatever. Who cares? Then we walk around town a little bit in the snow. This is when open coats, etc., are relevant.
Yes. Dean does say the thing that I hate where Rory's like, "I don't know what that was. That was crazy." And he's like, "Oh, he like has a thing for you." And she's like, "He tortures me. He like makes me miserable." And he's like, "Yeah, a thing for you. That's what crushes are. When you torture someone like they're a Dunkin' Donuts employee."
Duh. That just means that the boy likes you.
Right. When he like hits you with a sand pail and breaks your nose, that's love.
Exactly. It's just a crush. It's just a little crush.
Crush.
They're walking around and they notice that this is when Rory calls Dean her boyfriend. They finally,
yes, she says it's weird to have touchdown. My boyfriend defend my honor, and he's like,
boyfriend?
She's like, I was just saying boyfriends, things that happen when people are, I didn't mean are you my boyfriend?
Yeah, exactly. Long wandering
yes
statement on that. After that, they notice that Miss Patty has forgotten to lock up and the dance studio is open.
Hot.
Uh-oh. they go inside and it is, we discover that, because Dean's like, "What do you have in this bag? It's so heavy," in their like little drawstring purse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that she has a book in there, which very relatable. Love that.
Yeah, I feel like I took that. Like, I already was like that. And yeah. I was like, "Oh, that's a thing that men love. So I can't wait to be so popular."
Can't wait for all these men to ask me questions about what I'm reading. No, she's reading a Dorothy Parker.
A portable, I think it's a Dorothy Parker. So I think it's like a poetry collection. Yeah.
And they read it together for a little bit, but they end up falling asleep on some beanbags in the dance studio.
These are the parts where I'm like, I mean, you fall asleep together reading. Like, obviously, the true love hammock co-reading was very important to me. Like, these are the things I can get behind. And there, I might be skipping ahead, but there's this, like, overhead shot where we see them sleeping, like, curled together where she's, like, on his chest. And they're almost, mm-hmm. like, not to culturally appropriate, but it's, like, a yin and yang symbol almost where they're...
I had the same thought, yes.
It's just, like, so... a platonic ideal of like what this type of scene is like, this like innocent young love scene. And I think it's like really beautifully shot.
Yeah. And like, I appreciate that there is like still the physical sexual tension between the two of them. Cause obviously they're teenagers, like they're horny or whatever, like, and they're attracted to each other, but yes, it's not really, it's more about their platonic connection in this moment, because for obvious reasons, but their platonic connection, it seems to be as compelling as like any sort of other sexual connection that they might have.
And like the platonic idea is like, this is like the version that all the other versions are made after. Right. So like the platonic idea of a chair is like the perfect chair. And then all real chairs are copies of that chair. So it's like, they are like the mold, and every other like innocent scene like that is like,
based off of that. Yeah,
that's what it feels like. I'm sure there's other ones before, but in my brain, that's the one.
I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. I think we, the audience that is watching Rory and like really excited about her, what she like, her character flaws and what she likes and what she's interested in, I think this is very meaningful for oeuvre.
I think it also makes the fight with her mom so specifically what it is, because she wasn't even tempted. Like, they weren't even like, do we have sex here? Like, that wasn't even on the
kissing,
menu.
Like,
or like very chaste kissing, if any. Like, that just makes that so much more heartbreaking, that like fight that they have.
I know, and it sucks too, because Emily is the one who's about to like really drive home what could have happened. I feel like if Lorelai had just woken up and Rory wasn't there, she would have similarly been very upset and like scared and confused. But I don't think she immediately would have gone to like, oh my god, she's probably with a boy. Like, Emily immediately is like, she's gonna get pregnant, she's gonna make all the same mistakes you made.
It's like Emily is the devil on her shoulder, like, overriding her better right. self. Because, like, we have seen earlier, like, there was the part where, like, Rory for a second didn't want to go to Chilton because of Dean. And right. the part where she didn't tell her about the kiss. Like, I think there's been moments where you see that Lorelai, like, really fights it in herself. But she does have those worries about, like, boy stuff yeah. because of her own history.
Of course.
But yeah, because she's got this loud, mm-hmm. annoying voice screaming in her ear, it's really hard for her to, like, find her right. better angels.
For like the moment she opens her eyes and then has to figure out where her kid is, which I'm sure takes up like all of your brain when that happens. I mean, that's got to be really scary. Like you thought you knew where they were and you don't.
Yeah. I mean, and, Emily yeah. like aggressively shakes her shoulder and it's like her back is yeah. fucked up. Could you not like jostle her?
And yeah, it's a lot.
The group I of guess, women that yeah. the group of women that find them are like perfect. The casting is perfect. The way one of them says like that's Lorelai's girl is like perfect.
I know. I love Miss Patty. Miss Patty stumbling in on these on Rory and Dean with like a gaggle of elderly women here to do 5:30 a.m. yoga.
Yes. And the way Patty says like what are you doing here? I'm also like I feel like you have to have a come to Jesus moment with Patty too cuz you did break into her dance studio and sleep there all night. Like she seems pretty freaked out about that aside from like are you okay? Which right, it's like it's right. fine. I don't think Patty's like pissed, but understandably Patty is playing it of like
she's got questions.
What the fuck?
Yeah, got a few questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the end of this episode is this back and forth between Emily and Lorelai and trying to find Rory.
Yes, I think it's before this. Yes, just that image of Rory running in the snow with no shoes is really yes, burned in my brain. Feet. Yeah. Too. And the snow like sticking to the bottom and she's like yep. booking it. And mm-hmm. Dean is like, let me come with you. And she's like, the last thing you need is to be anywhere near my house. Like, this is about me and my mom. I have to go.
And that was a good instinct.
Yes. Absolutely.
And one of the lines back and forth between Emily and Lorelai is when Emily's like, she's doing the same things you did. She's going to get pregnant. And Lorelai is like, no, she's not. She's not going to ruin anything. Excuse me. And Lorelai finally has had enough. And she's like, she's not. Rory is a good kid, mom. She's not me. And Emily says, what kind of mother are you to allow this to happen to her? And Lorelai says, oh, I don't know, mom. What kind of mom were you?
Yes. So yes. good.
Hell yes. I love that. And the show didn't give it enough of a moment. I'm sure because we have other stuff going on. But yes. Like, ooh, I love that.
Yes. And yeah, like Emily is being the worst possible person to be with in this situation, but it's yes. I feel like it's good that Lorelai gets to actually say some of the stuff that's been simmering under the surface. But I agree, there's not enough of a moment. Like Emily is never like, well, fuck. Like, yeah. even earlier absolutely. When before they hear from Miss Patty about like that she's okay when Lorelai is Heather, no, what's her first name? Something Graham.
Lauren Graham.
Acting like her acting is so good. Like so when she's good. Like wandering around the house looking for Rory, like almost yep. crying, and Emily is like screaming in her ear about finding the phone, and she's like, you know,
can't find the fucking phone.
I'm yeah. looking for the phone, and please stop yelling. And her mom is like, Rory is missing, and she's like, I know, and you yelling is not helping. Anyway, so that part is all really good.
No, I totally agree. And yeah, Lauren Graham's acting of like just bewilderment. Like she can't yes. even process what is happening. And then also Emily is shrieking at her.
Yes. There's a line also before then when Emily says like, Lorelai Gilmore, you've done a lot of stupid things in your life and I've held my tongue. And Emily says, and Lorelai says, you've what now?
When was the tongue holding exactly?
Yes.
When did that happen? Yes. And then so this goes on for a little bit and, wait, is this before or after she calls? I don't know if this happens before or after Miss Patty calls. I think it's before. But Lorelai kicks Emily out, and she has a great thing to say.
Yes. So although there's like some fighting before. I think really they don't fight okay. before Miss Patty calls because their focus is Emily's being insane, but Lorelai's focus yeah. is like, where is Rory? And once they know that, that's when they can get into the stuff about doing stupid okay. stuff. And like Emily says this thing about like she spent the night with that boy that you let her run off to the dance with. Emily, you were there. You mm-hmm. also let her go right. off with right. this boy. Don't be insane. You were the one who pressured her to go to the dance.
Right.
Anyway.
No, for sure. And then it escalates. We get the call from Miss Patty. We find out that where Rory is and that she's on her way home. And Lorelai has had enough, and she kicks Emily out, and she says, "You will not come into my house and tell me I threw my life away. Look around, Mom. This is a life. It has a little color in it, so it may look a little unfamiliar to you, but it's a life. And if I hadn't gotten pregnant, I wouldn't have had Rory." And I thought that was great. That's like what we've been saying about Lorelai for all the episodes we've watched so far, where we're like, she's living a life. Like, she's got a job. She's got a house. She's got a kid. Like, what do you want?
Yes. And well, she also says the thing to Emily that also feels really important, where because Emily's like, you're going to lose her. Like, I lost you. And she's like, Mom, you would have lost me whether I'd gotten pregnant or not. Like, I was suffocating. And Emily kind of says stuff like she's heard this before, but it seems really important to like bring that home because both her mom and her dad have focused so much on her pregnancy as being this like thing that ruined all their hopes for her. But really, she wasn't going to do any of those things anyway. Like, maybe go to college, but, like, so many of those things, she wouldn't have been close to them either way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't the baby that ruined our relationship.
No, it was. It came pre-ruined, and please don't put that on my daughter.
Right.
This is also the part where Rory comes in, but she hears them fighting, so she, like, sneaks and hides by the stairs so she can hear Lorelai saying, maybe I was some horrible, uncontrollable child like you say, but Rory isn't. She's smart and careful, and I trust her, and she's going to be fine. And if you can't accept that or believe it, then I don't want you in this house. And that's when Emily leaves. So good. Even just that first one where she says, get out. Like, she's the acting is so good, and I just love that she, like, cut to the chase and wasn't like, we're not fighting about this anymore. Like, just get out of my – this is my house.
Agreed. And I like that so much because she gets to say, this is my life. Like, that they've had this conversation. We've only watched like 5 episodes of this first season, but they've had this conversation in every single one.
Yes.
Where Emily's like, why did you throw everything away? And meanwhile, we see Lorelai's life and it's like full of people that love her and like joy and stuff like that. So I love that Lorelai's finally had enough. I love that Lorelai's finally had enough and is like, it's just not true. Like, everything you're saying is bullshit. Look at my house. Like, I don't know.
Yes. Ugh. There's also, I feel like, a shift here because this is where Emily leaves. And, like, this whole part, like, when we're following Lorelai looking around for the phone and Emily screaming at her. And then later when they're having this fight, I feel like the camera is, like, following them from room to room. And it's, like, very chaotic. Right. And then things, like, calm down because she and Rory are going to have this conflict. But, like, the pitch at which things are happening when Emily is there is like unique in these scenes. Like, it's gonna be something bad now, but it's different. Emily is the person getting everyone escalated, and when she leaves things are still bad, there's still an impact, but that changes.
Absolutely. And God, I can't imagine how Emily is escalating everything. All she does is follow Lorelai around and talk about the same handful of mistakes that she's made in her life
and scream
perpetually
and scream that she's doing everything wrong and that her daughter is pregnant and dead.
Exactly. I can't imagine why we don't want you around, Emily. So yes, then the conflict changes and it's about between Lorelai and Rory, and they say pretty specifically, like, Lorelai is at once so relieved, obviously, that Rory is okay, but she's also like mad that this happened and that it happened in front of grandma.
Totally. And I really like the way the show like lets you see Rory overhear the nice stuff her mom said about her so that we can kind of be like, oh, we're used to them being a team and getting along, like, we're ready for that. And Rory comes in being like, thank you for saying all those, she's like gonna say all those things, and her mom doesn't even let her finish, and she's like really yelling at her and like on the verge of tears in a way we haven't seen before. So like the show kind of puts us in Rory's shoes of being like, my mom has my back. Oh, shit. No, actually, things are still really bad.
Right. No, you're in trouble too, babe. Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
And she grounds her, I think. Lorelai grounds Rory. And Rory says, this is crap. You know, I didn't do anything. Oh, that's another point that Rory keeps trying to drive home. Like, nothing happened between her and Dean. Like, they just fell asleep. They didn't have any sexy times. But Rory says, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, this was an accident. You're just mad because I screwed up and I did it in front of grandma and she nailed you for it. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I screwed up and I'm sorry that you got yelled at, but I didn't do anything and you know it. And we don't really get to hear Rory like respond to Lorelai that forcefully ever. So I thought that that was a moment.
Yeah. They had some good moments too. Like Rory, when Rory first identifies like, oh, you're mad because grandma was here and saw that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai says, it's not about that. It's about the feeling of complete terror when your kid isn't in her bed in the morning. And Rory does take that on board and is like, oh, I am. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like for me, this was such an encapsulation of, in some ways, the fights I had with my mom when I was like a preteen and teen. Like, I think we were way meaner to each other, especially me to her. But like this idea that like there's certain kind of fights where like you didn't do anything bad on purpose, but you also know something bad happened. And, like, the parent mm-hmm. knows that they're really scared and, like, that they sometimes have some good reason to be scared, but they also kind of know you didn't do it on purpose. But, like, the fact mm-hmm. that both of you know that can't fix the fight. Like, it's still going to be, like, yes. the worst, most heartbreaking fight you've ever had. And especially yeah. as a teen, I feel like that feeling of, like, I didn't do what you're accusing me of. It was truly an accident is, like, so upsetting, like the yeah. sense of injustice around it, and also the fact that like that fight's just gonna happen, like you can mm-hmm. both know and it's still gonna go.
I know and unfortunately I do feel like that's a template for how fights kind of go as an adult. Like that feels like, you know, having these arguments with your parents while at once is very like I don't know, makes you into a child again. That is still kind of the rubric for, like, again, like having arguments with my wife or anything like that. It's like nobody's wrong and also nobody's right, but yeah. you are still gonna argue. Like, true. I don't know. There's no way to not have this argument. Like, you yes. just have to get through it.
I do feel like at that least doesn't help. Ideally, and I think like at least to some little degree when you're fighting with like a partner or something, there's a sense where you can be like, we are fighting, we are aware of like mm-hmm. this fight we are having, and like our emotions are still up, but like we can mm-hmm. kind of know why things are happening. And I feel like when you have a child and a parent, like your parent is in some ways your whole world, and you mm-hmm. you are being trusted to like keep this child alive. So any of right. that sense of like, I know I am feeling this way, or like, yes, we're having this fight, but like, let's take a minute and calm down, is like out the door, because it's like your God and your like thing that you're entrusted with keeping alive. Like there's no right. like way to be like, let's take the stakes down a little bit, because the stakes are always yeah. at 110%.
Totally. That makes sense for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to, in general, between my dad always used to like have an opinion on this between mothers and daughters, and he always just sort of feels like the connection between a mother and a daughter is unknowable. And not in the way where, like, you know, mothers are our world or anything like that, but in the way where, like, it's got its own rules. Like,
yes,
its own.
Yes, I agree with that.
Right? Like, and he was always, I think when my sister was younger and, like, you know, butting heads with my stepmother, he was just sort of like, he just became Switzerland in a big way, where he was just, you know, they're fighting and they're gonna fight, and that's yeah.
interesting.
Anyway, so I agree that it's a very complicated connection.
And I just feel like this, yes, like, yeah, I'm bummed that they can't see where each other is coming from, but the show does such a good job of capturing that like horrible mother or parent child fight mm-hmm. for two different generations. So like yeah. it's a really, really, really effective piece of television. Like, I don't know if I've seen that many, if anything else, that captures this exact like horrible feeling.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's really effective. Yeah, especially stacking the confrontation of having Emily there and then leaving, and then we have to change roles suddenly, and
yeah,
just like in life, you know.
Yeah, and seeing them both on their own have their like shit their pants moment, like Lorelai yeah. getting woken up by a screaming Emily and Rory waking up and being like, we fell asleep. Oh, like right. like that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel panic, like, remembering that scene.
I know. And the panic of, like, because, of course, me here in 2023, the whole time, I'm just like, well, you know, what would I do in that situation? But I can only think of what I would do as my 35-year-old self. So I would, like, use my cell phone.
Sure. Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's like, Rory doesn't have that.
Yeah, I think the closest I can come, I'm as much as I love to oversleep, I always know I'm oversleeping for the most part, so that's not like an issue so much in my life. But I'm thinking about like when I just forget things, and then you're yeah. like, fuck, like mm-hmm. I didn't do anything on purpose, like I didn't do anything evil, but I'm like suddenly looking around and realizing that I've already like really hurt someone else, or like mm-hmm. really messed something up.
Yeah, it's kind of like a like that terror creeping up your spine.
Yes. Yeah.
Totally.
Anyway, so the end, it ends with Rory going in her room, Lorelai sitting at the table and crying. I don't even know. I don't think she gave her a punishment. Her punishment was when Rory said, what happened to trusting me? Where did all that go? And Lorelai said, I think it's back on Patty's yoga mats.
Oh, good.
That was the punishment.
Well, I guess then Rory just referencing just the whole thing is crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that she's, yeah, not believing her. That or
well, I was almost like, is that
upset.
A reference to, like, Dean's sperm? Like, it's on the yoga mat. Either way, it's pretty harsh.
Of course you thought that.
Either way, it's pretty harsh.
It's pretty harsh. But yeah, that is the end of season one, episode 9, Rory's Dance. Amy Sherman Palladino had some points. Fun facts, life lessons.
My life lesson, always accept the muscle relaxer from your friend.
Don't think about it twice. Just put it in your mouth.
Unless you're in recovery or you have other issues going on.
Nope. Too late. You already said it.
Get real raven towards this drug use at all times, no matter what.
I think my life lesson would be, to try uncool things
or things that
you think will be uncool or not something or that you'll you would be enjoy. Uncool at. Yeah, because it is fun and you get to go and like be with your friends, and even if it sucks, you can be like, you can be pissed with your friends. You know, you can just be like, oh, this is so lame. Let's go like do donuts in the parking lot or something stupid. You know?
Yeah. When you go home to watch TV, it'll be like with the sense of accomplishment of like, oh, I tried something and I got through it and now I get to go home.
And is that not the feeling we are all chasing? To be able to go home and put the TV on and know that you earned it.
Oh, God. That's the dream. That's the American dream.
Who would you do?
I'm going to go with Sissy. I'm down to dance or eat or make out, so she'll be happy no matter what.
Good one. Good one. In this episode, we find out that Dean is 6'2", and I love a beefcake, so I pick Dean.
I love that for you.
Thank you. So wait, Sissy, which is, what's his face, weird date? And I'm going to add, Dean to my list.
Perfect. Is Rory the villain in this episode? I don't think so. I think she's a victim of circumstance.
Victim of circumstance. Yeah, I agree. I don't think she's a villain. I think she makes a mistake. That doesn't make her a villain.
Okay, that. I see your next episode thing.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So we have discussed this briefly, but let's discuss it further.
I would love to just do the next episode because from what I remember, I think it's an important episode and I don't want to leave. Like, I want to be able to process the aftermath of this fight and I don't want to to talk about it in an episode.
All right. I love that. Oh, nope. This would be episode 10. All right. Yeah, see, I put that maybe in
there. Yeah.
So I'm not going to look up the thing for it, but next time we will be talking about season one, episode 110, which is what I've written here. Season 10. Again, I won't read the synopsis, but that's what we'll be talking about next time. So we'll get to see how this concludes, the thrilling conclusion.
I cannot wait.
And we can't wait to see you there. I wanted to say thank you to the, we want to say thank you to the creator of our theme music, Laurel Wreath of Laurel Wreath on Victor's. I'm so sorry. Laurel Wreath of Victor's on creativecommons.wikimedia.org.
Love that. Also, of course, thank you to our delicious listeners, especially the ones who support us on Patreon. You are the cream. In our Oreos. Nothing gross about that. Perfect rating.
Parentheses, what? Ew. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at BoobTubeForever on both of those. If you need to email us, you can do so at BoobTubeForeverPod@gmail.com. And we'll see you in Stars Hollow next time.